put a dipstick in it.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us this Monday morning. After today, Cash for Clunkers will be history. The program burned through $3 billion in just over a month, and by the time Clunkers is scrapped, some estimate it'll help close to 750,000 Americans buy new, more fuel-efficient cars. Marketplace's Steve Henn is up early this morning to crunch some numbers for us. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing well. So the program's toast after today. Who are the big winners?
Well, you know, for an industry that had completely stalled out a few months ago, this has been a huge boost. Obviously, auto companies, the UAW, and dealers all did pretty well. It looks like by the time this is all over, sales in August will top out at over 1 million cars. That's up from a year ago and a huge change from the kinds of sales we were seeing just 3 or 4 months ago.
And we should say a big part of the program was touted as environmental, getting more fuel-efficient cars on the road. So get out your calculator, Steve Henn. I want to know how much gas the country's going to save.
Well, Steve, when the dust settles, you know, some estimate about 750,000 people will have traded their clunkers in. So everyone drives about 12,000 miles a year. Those folks will probably drive just over 9 billion miles next year. Now, so how much gas they save depends on the mileage of the clunker they traded in and the mileage of the new car they bought. So if the average clunker got about 16 miles to the gallon and the new car gets 24 miles to the gallon, the country will save about 180 million gallons of gas next year.
That sounds like a lot of gas.
Yeah, it does, right? But it's not. The country burns about 380 million gallons of gas a day. So the clunkers program is the environmental equivalent of everyone pulling over right now, shutting off their car, and taking a 12-hour driving holiday.
So is that going to do anything to quickly keep gas prices down?
In a word, no.
All right. Marketplace's Steve Henn joining us from Washington. Steve, thanks.
Sure thing.
Let's check this morning's numbers. European markets are slightly higher, mainly under 1%. Asian shares closed up today. The Nikkei nearly 3.5%. The price of Samsung stock shot up to a record high today. The chip and LCD maker was bolstered by upbeat earnings expectations. Wall Street wrapped things up last week on a positive note. The S&P added more than 1.75%. The NASDAQ and Dow both tacked on about 1.5%. Nearly 80 banks have failed so far this year. And the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, that's the FDIC to you and me, is having a hard time finding companies interested in buying those banks. Among possible buyers are private equity groups. But until now, the FDIC has been reluctant to let them in. Marketplace's Elisa Roth explains why.
Private equity firms have a lot of money, and a lot of them would like to own some of these failed banks. Stephen Kaplan's a professor at the University of Chicago's Business School, and he says some people are worried that private equity firms would take advantage of the situation.
They'll somehow use the bank to help finance some of their companies in a way that isn't economically rational or economically sound.
Or they might try to make a quick buck by flipping the banks to another buyer. David Brophy specializes in private equity at the University of Michigan's Business School. He says in some ways, private equity firms would be less threatening to the FDIC than other options, like, say, foreign buyers.
I think that when they think about the private equity business, it's sort of the devil you know.
That devil may not be as evil as he's made out to be. Brophy says private equity firms may have a reputation for flipping assets quickly, but these days they're more likely to spend time fixing companies up before they sell them off. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Trustees who oversee Social Security say there won't be a cost of living increase for the next 2 years. That means shrinking checks for millions of older people. That hadn't happened since automatic increases were adopted in 1975. The law says Social Security benefits cannot go down, but that's going to happen if you're enrolled in the Medicare prescription drug program. The premiums for Medicare are scheduled to go up, and they're usually deducted from Social Security payments. Cost of living adjustments are pegged to inflation, and we know inflation has been negative this year.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thriven Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thriven.com.
In a bid to capitalize on the ever-expanding reach of the blogosphere, Sony has launched a new marketing site. It's targeted to dads who read parparenting blogs. Now, Sony's wading into some murky waters here, given the criticism that some mommy bloggers have gotten lately for reviewing products they got for free and not disclosing that fact. Sony says it's all beyond that, Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
I am a blogger. Blog her is that mommy thing. I'm a dad. D-A-D, dad.
So begins a video dad post blog. From Jeff Sass. He blogs at Dad-O-Matic and is one of the writers on Sony's new DigiDad site. Sony is giving, or rather loaning, guys like Sass things like games and cameras. The deal is they do a project, say a video montage of a family vacation, then blog about it. When they're done, they ship the gadget back to Sony. Carl Howe with market research firm The Yankee Group thinks Sony's doing this right.
When you start giving away products, when you start directing money to the writers, that's when you start getting into trouble.
The kind of trouble that's undermined trust in the mommy blogosphere, says blogger Melissa Lyon.
To start taking products and writing a great review of them in the hopes that you'll continue to get more products cheapens what blogging started out as.
Blogger Jeff Sass says Sony has no leverage over him.
And we're going to give our transparent opinions of what's good, what's bad, what worked, what didn't work.
Carl Howe says Sony's being smart about the transparency and the marketing.
What we're seeing with the rise of the daddy blogs is there are some areas where men are the real decision makers. Gaming systems is clearly one of those. We'll see a little bit more emphasis on gadgets of all kinds. And oh, by the way, cars too.
Mommy bloggers aren't getting much of that marketing love, says Melissa Lyon. Most of the products pitched at them are things like diapers and laundry detergent. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Hey, check us out at our website, marketplace.org. Share your thoughts with us with our blogger and online host, Scott Jakow, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being here. Have a great Monday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.